Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
So results came in from our test group of moms, and we've been hitting some of the big points. We talked about, you know, fashion that one episode. We gave jean jackets not a bad rating. We talked about Chadwick. But one thing we're really missing, is Hallmark movies.
Ooh.
So, we're not gonna rate Hallmark movies or anything. I mean, we might rate Hallmark movies at one point, but, like, let's just give a good lead in. So we can kind of grab the attention of their audience and then kind of get going.
I do know a thing or two about Hallmark movies.
You've seen some of them.
Have you ever heard of the movie Boyfriend for Christmas?
Once or twice.
I believe that I have seen the movie Boyfriend for Christmas. Approximately. I think one year I did see it like 10 times in the same year. And I do exaggerate a lot for comedy on this podcast that's supposed to be funny.
It's not a joke, though. No, but it's not a joke. I was with you, like, every time.
I think I've seen that movie, like, 10 times. They show that movie so many times around Christmas.
It might be the movie I've seen more than any other movies.
Oh, no.
Did you just have that thought, too? Like, is Boyfriend for Christmas the movie I've seen the most times?
As an adult, I don't think it even compares to anything else. I think I've seen that way more times.
Our grandpa loved it.
And our grandma and our aunt.
I think
the movie Boyfriend for Christmas might be like on loop on the ABC Family or Hallmark or whatever. It would definitely be Hallmark since it's a Hallmark movie, huh?
Yeah.
It was definitely on loop, I think, all of December. It's just that movie. In fact, they basically, you know how like, have you ever had satellite radio? Sometimes they take a channel and they'll make a specialty channel for a small period of time. For a small bit of time, and there'll be just like a holiday channel that's only around for December. I think that they make a special channel just so they have Boyfriend for Christmas on loop during Christmas time.
So at any given point, you'd be like, I have a fever, and the only prescription is some Boyfriend for Christmas.
Fever's got me sweating, and you know I'm burning up. Got a fever, can't sweat out? Is that three references? Comedy is jokes of threes?
No, yeah, we nailed it. We got it. Boom. I mean, that was for sure funny.
Yo, what's your topic?
Hey, welcome to Life Such You Rate It. It's the show where for the future of everybody, so you don't have to waste your time with dumb, bad things, and you can kind of skip to straight good things.
We rate everything.
We rate all of it. Scale from 1 to 10.
Here on WhackMatters.com. If you're watching the video, I just have a shirt that says Whack Matters. You can buy it on our store at WhackMatters.StoreMV.com. But yeah, my name is Michael.
I'm Mark.
I'm a brother.
I'm also a brother.
To each other. And from the same mother. And we do this podcast together. And we each bring a topic that we discuss every week. And this week you've decided to talk about...
Quack.
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 Quack. Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. The best sports franchise. Movies, at least, of all time.
Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks.
I've watched D2 The Mighty Ducks many times. Not as many times as Before for Christmas.
Close, though. Close second.
I loved The Mighty Ducks, D2 The Mighty Ducks, so much as a child. I watched it... We watched that movie a lot for a long time.
Yeah,
we watched it a weird amount. It was one of those movies, like, back in the day, before you had music on demand, you know how sometimes there would be a song in a movie that you liked, and you would watch the part of the movie, then rewind it? And we watched We Are the Champions.
There it is! Oh, that too.
We watched We Are the Champions approximately.
That they just sing at the end of
it. Yeah, the Mighty Ducks people singing We Are the Champions, we saw that so many times.
My mom hated it because she didn't like us listening to that much secular music at that point in our lives.
Well, that's why we didn't have We Are the Champions on demand, so we just had to watch We Are the Champions singing by the Mighty Ducks people, with the Mighty Ducks people singing over it, and, like, that's the campfire scene where they're all telling this story.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so good.
Is Mighty Ducks good as a grown-up? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yes.
Okay.
But let me pitch this. So, I've seen a lot of people who don't know what the Mighty Ducks are.
You can't pitch this to me. This is not that podcast,
no,
bro.
Yeah, no. But, like, I've seen a lot of people who don't, like, haven't seen The Mighty Ducks. So, it's essentially, a movie about a bunch of kids who are bad at sports and they get a jerk coach, and then over time they melt his heart and becomes a nice coach.
Yeah.
And he makes some good sports.
It's a redemption story, which we've already classified as a 10 out of 10. Yeah.
It's so good, and you got
Fulton Reed. Charlie Conway. A bunch of girls.
Gee. That's what they call the ladies' man one.
I don't remember that at all.
He almost kisses Connie.
What about that dude that's a cowboy? Was that him?
No. That is...
Who tries to lasso someone on the ice.
They go places.
That show is like... It's like... Let's talk about a competing sports franchise, the Air Bud series. I really don't like the Air Bud series. I think they might all be bad. And maybe they've always been bad, but I did like them as a kid. But it does, like, the things that they get up to on the ice, especially when they're, like, doing the lassos or, like, any of their gimmick plays where they, like, bring props onto the ice rink, and...
Ice court?
The ice court. And I feel like, it reminds me of Air Bud with, like... Nobody seems to really care that Air Bud is a dog and he's playing sports. I feel like when they bring a lasso out on the rink...
No, he gets 2 minutes in the box.
Yeah, but still, like, he still has a lasso that he carries around before he uses... Maybe it's like professional wrestling, where you can do anything, but until, like, it touches the other player, it's not bad. Like, you can pull a chair out, like, during a regular match.
You can pull a chair out,
and you can hit everybody else except the ref and the other person, but as soon as you touch that other person, it's a DQ. In fact, like, they have... here's the way that wrestling works. In wrestling, it only matters if it hits the opponent. So if there's a person who's cheating for a bad guy... The bad guy can come out, and the good guy can be fighting the bad guy. And it does not count as a DQ until the bad guy hits the good guy. So the good guy can be beating up on the bad guy's henchman, and then the bad guy can kick him. And even though he's, like, literally in a tussle with a third party who's not in the match, it's not a DQ unless the person not involved in the match actually hits back. So it doesn't matter how much of a distraction he is or, like, any of that. Until the guy hits back, it's not a DQ. And maybe that's the way it is. He can have a lasso. They can have a pistol for all we care. Dude's walking around carrying a gun. And until he shoots that bullet at the other player, it's all good. Nobody's committed a crime.
Above the belt.
It's open carry for all things. You could wear a clown nose in a car, but until you hit another player with that car, no harm, no foul.
Jesse Hall.
Yeah.
It's another one. What's Knuckleputt Kid's name?
Fulton, I thought.
No, Fulton has just the regular slap shot.
Oh, I don't know, man. You're going to have a lot more deep knowledge of this, especially if you've seen it in the last, I don't know, 15 years.
Okay, dude. So, like, quick rundown. So, the first movie is about what I said. Second movie, same coach, freaking Gordon Bombay or Emilio Estevez,
It's just a get-back-together story.
He's the man. It's a get-back-together story. They go to the, I don't know if this is a real thing, the Pee Wee Junior Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a real thing?
I don't know. I've been there. So, no.
You said, I don't know. I've been there.
I couldn't decide how to yes and that. So I yes and it both ways.
So they go to the Junior Pee Wee Olympics, and then they have to fight the Eastland team. And they're much bigger and faster and better at hockey. And then they get a kid who can do a good shot. And
you
then
said Eastland?
That's what they say.
And I thought... You were saying Eastland. And I was trying to remember that part of the movie because I'm a dumb butt.
No, they're, the people, they play Iceland and they say it weird because they have accents.
Yeah.
And they say Eastland. And I remember that part for some reason. And then, they beat them somehow. Oh, they beat them because Knucklepuck Boy, pretends to be Goldberg, their goalie. How could we forget Gregory Goldberg? He pretends to be him, and then pulls out of goal, pulls middle ice field, and just does a knuckle puck shot very good, gets a tie game, they win the shootout at the end. Much like the Big Green, if you're thinking of that.
I don't know anything about hockey, but I do think that the Mighty Ducks is accurate to
is
how
a one,
hockey
is. Is a one-to-one representation of what hockey looks
including,
like.
Including the no DQ rule. The Flying V, man. Even as a child, I kind of was confused about the how the flying V was supposed to work when the players gather up in a V formation and then just pass the puck back and forth as if
they were all very close to each other and then
it just scored. Assume that did anything.
Okay, also, real quick, have you learned what a deke is? Like a deke in hockey?
Oh, listen, a deke is a real thing.
Yes.
I've heard people talk about it, and I don't know what it means.
So, it's essentially like, it's...
It's just when they flip the side of the stick?
Essentially, yeah, you kind of like, you push side and go opposite side, so like, switch. One of those is a deke, right? So, in this movie...
I thought they did that all the time, though.
They do a lot, yes.
Okay.
So, but, like, it essentially forwards...
I thought that's, like, essentially the dribbling of hockey.
You do it as a fake, though.
Okay.
So, like, it's kind of like in...
So, you act like you're going to swing, or just in general?
In,
so
in general, which one. Yeah, you swing wide to where you could slap shot it in, okay, or pass it back. So, it's just harder for the goalie to know which way you're going to hit it.
Sure,
with.
Sure.
In this movie, they talk about this thing called the triple deke.
Yeah, dude, like it's unbeatable.
It is this unbeatable thing that Gordon...
It is unbeatable.
That Gordon goes and tries to teach Charlie in the first movie and stuff. It's just a basic thing that hockey players do.
No, it's not, because Emilio Estevez...
The man.
Emilio frickin' Estevez does it. That makes it better. If Emilio Estevez made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it would be the most legendary food item that you could possibly eat.
Well, only if he...
Only if he what?
Hold on, is it if Emilio Estevez does it, or Gordon Bombay does it?
Both, actually. Aren't they the same? I've never seen them both in the... That joke doesn't work, does it? I have seen them both in the same place at the same time.
Exclusively, I might add.
Do you know who Emilio Estevez's brother is?
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen. Charles Sheen.
Tiger
he was,
blood.
Like, my favorite person to follow online, just, like, falling apart before, like, Kanye and Shia did, was Charlie Sheen.
If I gave you my braid, you couldn't handle it. You'd be like, whoa, and try to give it back.
Do you remember when winning was a thing that people said all the time? Sorry, I'm bumping the mic there. Remember when winning was a thing that people said all the time because of Charles Sheen?
Some people have said I'm bipolar. I'm bi-winning. Charles Sheen. All right, so... Third Mighty Ducks movie.
Okay, I may have seen this only one time in my life, actually.
Okay, so they do not have Coach Bombay as a coach. He goes back to being a lawyer. He, however, as their lawyer, gets them all 6 scholarships to...
Wasn't he a felon in the first movie?
He was drinking and driving and got pulled over.
Okay, but he was a lawyer.
Yes, and then got community service of coaching the Mighty Ducks. And then the only reason
they're
called...
if you were a drunk driver... The one thing you can do to help society is teach
is
children your ways.
Hang around a bunch of kids.
Teach children your ways.
And the only they're called the Ducks is because his boss is named Mr. Duckworth. So once he becomes a fan of these kids and they melt his heart, he gets them to sponsor because they all have no money. So he sponsors them as calling them the Ducks. And then they get their uniforms and stuff.
If I were to sponsor a children's sports league, they'd be called the Nips. Move on.
So, the third one, Coach Bombay,
Team Nip.
Team Nip. Oh, dang, oh, dude, he slipped. Look at him. Oh, dang it. The kid in Team Nip slipped. did you not get where I was going?
No.
Gordon,
you cracked me.
Gordon Bombay got them 6 scholarships to go to this very prestigious high school. So they're all a bunch of freshmen going into high school playing at this team. And they had...
In my brain, I always thought it was college because high school doesn't matter for Jack.
Yeah, but it's very prestigious.
Okay.
And like more prestigious than the school that the people go to in
Avalon
Society.
High? Okay.
No, Avalon,
thank you for making a relevant reference. Keep going.
This new coach is all about defense, because I guess Gordon Bombay didn't teach defense.
I don't know if you saw Mighty Ducks 1 and 2, but they essentially do no defense.
Yeah, so this coach is all about defense, and Charlie butts heads with him a lot. Because he's like, you're not my father figure, Emilio Estevez, you're a new coach who doesn't want me to be a scorer. You want me to play defense. So, He stresses defense, and they keep losing to the varsity team. And do you remember Dean Portman at all?
That sounds familiar.
From D2, Mighty Ducks.
That sounds real familiar. He's another big guy, right?
Yeah, he's the other big guy who hangs out with Fulton Reed.
Yeah.
He doesn't show up. So, spoilers for Mighty Ducks 3. So, late in the final climactic battle, it is 1-0 at halftime. And they're playing their best defense because they're trying to listen to their new coach, and they accidentally give up a trash goal at the beginning of the game, so they're losing. Yeah. And they're just a lot, I mean, freshmen, seniors, so, yeah, they're a lot bigger and stronger than them.
Word.
So, they're just losing the whole time, and Fulton's trying his best, but he's the only kind of big person. And halfway through the thing, Dean Portman kicks open the door, reading off his scholarship, puts on his clothes and goes out there, and I don't think hockey works like that. I don't think you could just add people to your team in the middle of the year.
Why the heck not? Give me one reason why you can't do that.
I don't know, probably.
Mid-game, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I guess.
It happened in Air Bud. I watched an episode of Dora the Explorer where it happened. I'm not kidding.
There's Dora Explorer episodes about sports?
Dora's cousin is like a professional soccer player.
Diego?
No, it's a girl cousin. And she's playing soccer professionally on TV. They lose a person due to an injury, and they had nobody else on the bench. And Dora's mission is to get to the soccer game in time so it doesn't DQ, and she plays professional soccer in the middle. She just joins the middle.
Is she good? Is that a little racist?
Why?
Never mind. So, right, so Dean Portman comes out, and then he flips one of the big bully kids through the glass. After he tries to be a nice guy.
Is that a penalty?
No, because the guy charges him and he kind of just like flips, brushes him off, and the guy goes through the glass. It's not
his
fault.
That seems like more than a little flip.
They're both big boys.
I've seen a lot of big, real hockey boys go through the glass, not go through the glass.
Yeah, but have you ever seen any of them be as good as the Ducks?
No.
That's
the truth. Yeah. I've never seen the Ducks.
So, they crack attack, and then they get their one goal and they tie it up. And then they play a lot of defense, and because of their good defense, they get a very good fast break, and our boy, Charles Conway, smashes it right in that their thing. They win by one at the last second. Buzzer beater.
Hey, what's the name of that TV show that Charlie Conway grows up and he's in?
Bones?
No. The Numbers? Paranormal Activity one.
Numbers or something?
No. That's a different show. That's the guy from Santa Claus is in Numbers. There's a show. Oh man.
Paranormal Activity.
No, but it's like Paranormal Activity.
Gotta get those ghosts.
It's like the X-Files.
X-Files?
No, but it's like
Fringe.
Fringe! Charlie Conway's in Fringe, I think.
He is?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Wait a fact check in the middle of this episode. I was just trying to make a joke about how that's a
Is Charlie Conway in Fringe? That's not at all what my phone heard.
What did it hear?
Is Charlie... These came back
from a search. I don't think Charlie Conway's his real name. I might have to break this to you.
It's not...
Is this my Santa Claus Isn't Real segment for you?
No, The Ducks is a documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not know that? That's why Emilio Estevez and...
Are you Santa Clausing me? Telling me that Santa Claus is real?
He is real.
Emilio Estevez is really a hockey coach?
Michael, have you ever woken up on Christmas and not had any presents?
No.
You think parents just do that? First of all, you don't even live with your parents anymore.
Parents just don't understand.
You think mom and dad... Okay, well...
Mom and dad don't sneak into my house at night, and if they do, we got problems.
Here's the situation. Parents went away on a week's vacation. But, No, for real. So, like, mom and dad aren't breaking your house and giving you presents or something.
Who
it's gotta be Santa.
Putting presents under my tree?
Santa!
I didn't.
Everybody's favorite big, big, fat stalker man watching all the kids.
He's not a stalker if he gives you presents.
Okay. I think it kind of depends on the present, Michael, actually.
What if it's things you want? Is he a stalker?
Define.
What if you know you want it and he gives it to you? Is he a stalker?
Did you say that you want it?
Not to him, because you didn't know he was there.
Okay,
he
just said to someone else that he happened
to overhear it. via his spy tools.
I mean, he knows when you're sleeping.
He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so freaking be good for goodness sake, man. We're ruining all our good Christmas jokes. Heck.
Take it. Frick.
We don't think very much.
Okay, Mighty Ducks 1. What are we giving this?
I think that Mighty Ducks 1 is a solid 7.
Good movie. 7. D2 Mighty Ducks.
I feel like Mighty Ducks 2 is a very solid 8.
Good movie.
Very solid 8.
Mighty Ducks 3.
I don't remember Mighty Ducks 3 at all, but Emilio Estevez is in it less than any other movie.
That is true.
And I mean any other movie, period. Emilio Estevez is in every movie a little bit, but he's not in D3 very much at all.
Yeah, I really thought, like, the freaking Infinity War cameo of Emilio Estevez
just, like, talking, dying after the end, yeah.
Yeah, was, like, kind of, like, in poor taste, because I was most sad about Emilio Estevez just freaking turning to dust.
Boom, spoilers for Avengers, I guess, but, like, boom, this character dies, boom, this character dies. Then you just, like, see Emilio Estevez in the background die, and you're like, but why him?
And you were like...
That's how you knew it wasn't going to stay that way.
It was going to get reversed,
because Emilio Estevez can't be dead.
No. Who's going to coach the Ducks? Heck. Who's going to look out for Charles?
Heck.
Who's going to help Charles grow up to be the good man to hunt all that paranormal activity?
Avengers Infinity War Part 2 just starts with a quack, quack. And then Charlie Conway on his rollerblades.
And then he freaking goes behind Avengers Tower, and he's like, flying V! And the alive Avengers just form out in a V around him, and they go and smoke Thanos.
I mean, what is Thanos supposed to do against the V?
Which, mind you, they do in every single Mighty Ducks movie. It doesn't work in any of them except for the first time they do it in 1. It doesn't work any other time.
No, it works once in 12.
Oh, but it doesn't work against the good team.
Not against Eastland. No.
No, Eastland, they try it multiple times against Eastland.
And Eastland's just like, yo, we're big boys, and smash him. Hulk smash.
Do you remember just like in the Kenny Wu and how he would do his cool finger skating stunts in D2, Mighty Ducks?
No, is he a racist character?
Maybe a little bit.
No, I don't.
I don't remember enough about it to for
when
sure
you
call
keep
that.
Saying that, I just keep thinking of the dude from Ocean's 11 who does all the ninja stuff. Is it him?
Spoilers, he's in Ocean's 8.
Is he? I never saw that one. Is it
Which
good?
I really thought, it's pretty good, but I really thought I was like sitting there and I felt as not a woman, but I was watching it with mostly females. I was like, dang, they must be feeling so empowered right now. And then that guy showed up and was kind of the crux of the whole movie. And I was like, oh.
That guy shows up for real?
I bet, oh, sorry.
Why
legit,
not George?
Legit spoilers for...
Or Brad.
Legit spoilers for, that movie. Yeah, that guy shows up and
they
he's
got Anne Hathaway. Why can't they get Brad? What is Brad worth in 2018? No offense, Brad, but you look like an old homeless man.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean that Brad's sense of self is so low that he doesn't think that he's
everyone
not worth
needs
that.
A paycheck, dog.
Okay, but let me tell you something.
George
about...
doesn't need a paycheck, but Brad needs a paycheck. George can do things.
So George is dead in fiction, but there's a running joke.
What?
They said he's dead. He died, but there's a running joke of
did
everybody.
Did they say he's dead with quotes?
The running joke is that nobody's sure if he faked it or not.
Okay.
So people multiple times will ask Sandra Bullock, who's the main character, I don't remember her real name, but they'll be like, Sandra. So your brother's dead? I mean her movie
it's
name.
Her brother?
Yeah. She's her.
So she's the ocean.
She's an ocean, yeah.
Okay. She's not married?
Yes.
Or she changed her name to Ocean?
No, she's a sister.
Or she married an ocean?
Maybe. But also, I don't think, that'd be weird. It's spelled differently though. But she hyphenates?
That's why your skin looks so good.
People ask her if she's dead. Was that a hydrates joke?
Yeah, I was making a good pun. She hyphenates.
But, people be like, so is he dead? She's like, I'm not sure.
She's not sad.
And stuff like that. Yeah, no, because, like, there's a running joke of maybe he's not dead. And... I really thought he was going to come out at the end, and he didn't, but I think he might if they make another one, make an Ocean's 9.
George is a very expensive man.
But here's the thing, he was also in that stupid, like, Neverland movie or something. Imagination World.
What? Oh, is he the main guy in that?
No, not Neverland. What am I thinking
I know
of?
What you're talking about, Tomorrowland
Wonderland.
Or whatever?
Yeah, that's him.
What?
Yeah.
He had nothing better to do?
Yes, what I'm saying. George Clooney was like, I'll be in this trash, I guess.
Maybe he does need a paycheck. Or maybe he just wants to make movies his children can see.
Maybe. Dude, George Clooney is just one classy boy.
We make a lot of jokes, and we are being serious about Chad freaking Michael freaking Murray being the most attractive man alive, but George Clooney is the most attractive man alive above 50.
Dude, he's a classy looking boy. Mighty Ducks 3, did we rate that one?
No.
Probably like a 6. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's worth watching once. It's kind of like Back to the Future 2. Like, you should probably see it.
You like
but I Back lost to the my Future Blu-ray.
Ow.
But I lost my Blu-ray, and I'm not that disheartened. I'm like, dang it. Where's Back to the Future 2, I guess?
But I have 1, so it's okay.
I feel like 3 is the same way, man. Just like...
Never seen 2 or 3. 1's a good movie.
1 is good to watch by itself and be done. 2 and 3 are not very repeatable. I've never wanted to watch them again, but I have wanted to watch the first one. I've seen that a couple times.
Good movie.
And I don't watch movies more than once anymore because I'm grown up.
And you also have a wife and kids.
Yeah, and my kids hate Back to the Future 1. They just think that Marty McFly is terribly portrayed.
Dude, were you... Was it on this, did you talk about Molly's inability to understand Simba aging in Lion King?
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, good reference back to... insert reference here.
Oh, you know, episode... What did you bring?
A movie about one of my favorite people to think about. And it's a movie that we did bring up earlier. We were talking as a family earlier today, and the movie Labyrinth came up. The movie starring my boy, David Bowie, RIP. And I want to think about this movie.
Dude.
Because I love it.
How many times have you seen Labyrinth?
I don't know, maybe 5 or 6.
I've seen it one time.
Did you watch it the whole way through?
Yes.
In one sitting?
No.
Did you fall asleep?
No, I did not fall asleep. We had to go do family pictures.
I love the movie Labyrinth, but I don't know what it is. Or the target demo. Or...
if it's good or not.
Or how it got funded. Or if it's good... Or even what it's about.
Really? Like, metaphysically?
Because it starts off, and there's a girl who doesn't want to babysit her little
brother. Oh, hold on. We're going to spoil Labyrinth.
Spoil Labyrinth. There's a little girl who doesn't want to babysit her little brother. Boom. Relatable protagonist. She sucks because she whines a lot. And then from there, at the beginning... So, here's the movie. She's reading poetry. She goes home. She has plans with her friends, and her parents tell her no, she has to babysit her little brother because they're going on a date. At that point, the movie is very relatable and people can understand it. The end. Because at that point, her parents leave, and what's the first thing she does?
Her baby brother cries. And then she goes, Goblin King, take this kid far away from me!
And David Bowie flies up. He flies into the owl room as an owl. He flies into the room as an owl, becomes a human.
Well, first he flies into an owl and just explodes it, and then he turns into an owl.
It's really hard to tell what is happening at this point, because the music is very loud, and the sound effects are very loud. The baby is crying, and then David Bowie, as an owl, flies into the room, becomes normal David Bowie, and says, I will take this small child off your hands. And at that point, if you are a normal person, you go, excuse me? What the heck? That's a meme reference to those people. And from there, they just, like, I've tried to think about this movie because I really want to like it. I like it a lot. But I really want to be able to
think that it's good.
I know, I want to be able to tell other people they should like it. And that's the part, like, I have no problem liking weird things. It's the part where I have a problem recommending this thing to other people.
It's like trying to explain Metal Gear, the greatest story ever told, to normal people.
Because at some point she's in her house and then she decides that, I probably shouldn't have wished away my brother to the Goblin King. And then she is immediately like...
How does she get to the weird world?
No, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't do anything. She's just in the labyrinth. David Bowie says, do you want to play with my glass balls? As he juggles glass balls.
Well, he doesn't. He doesn't know how.
Well, no. David Bowie doesn't.
The Goblin King.
But the Goblin King juggles glass balls. I think he's asking her to marry him by juggling glass balls. And then she says no. And then she's in a labyrinth to try to save her brother from the Goblin King, who is literally the king of goblins.
Now, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a musical, is it?
No, I mean, it is a musical.
Like, there's a song.
There's a lot of songs.
There's a lot of them, okay. Yes. I did not remember. I remember one specific song.
No, there's a lot of songs. And that's the thing. Like, so they go through this labyrinth, and it just gets weirder and weirder. And the part where I just really don't know what is happening is there's a forest scene. Do you remember the forest scene? It's a frequent part where people fall asleep and kind of forget what their life means. Where I think they're just walking through the forest. And you know those puppets that have like the long necks and the long legs? Do you remember puppets?
Yes.
From back when like people used analog things instead of digital?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bunch of those that dance and sing a song that really can only be understood by LSD users. And that's the point where I'm like, I really like this movie, but I don't think anyone else should except me. Not because I'm an acid user, but because I do like some things that acid users like. And that's the movie Labyrinth.
For instance, acid.
Like acid.
Yeah, that's one of the things that acid users like that Michael also likes.
Yes. But the problem is, I don't know what it is. The movie Labyrinth. And I don't know who liked it, because I wasn't alive back then. I think it came out in the late 80s, so I wasn't even born yet. And I don't know what the reception was, and I don't know what people... Like, I like to... When I watch weird things,
I believe it was marketed as a kid's movie.
Probably. But like, can you imagine being a parent in the 80s...
And taking your kid to see
that? Taking your child to see this movie, and sitting in the movie, and just going... what is this? And then not being able to answer that question 30 years later when the, like, now time. You saw the movie in the 80s, and now you're grown still up.
Just trying to figure it out.
And you're still trying to figure out what that movie is.
And you're a little... And anytime your kid does anything kind of edgy, you're like, man, did I freaking did I inadvertently screw him up with Labyrinth?
Is this because of the fart swamp? Because they go to a fart swamp where the swamp farts and it stinks like fart.
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with a power.
What power?
Power of voodoo.
Voodoo?
You do.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
I saw my baby trying hard as babe could try. David Bowie does sing in the movie. He also does try to get a child to marry him.
Which is just a weird look, David.
It's not David, though. It's Goblin
King.
Jareth.
Gareth?
Jareth. Gif, Jif. One of the others. And I just don't know. This is the thing that I think about all the time, and I thought it would be worth rating on the show, because it is something that I haven't come to the table predetermined with how I feel about it, because I don't know how I feel about it, or how you should feel about it, or how David Bowie felt about it, or feels about it at this point. Because I don't know what Labyrinth is, or what it does to the human psyche. Like, I think we should do some kind of test A-B group where there's people that have never seen Labyrinth and people that have seen Labyrinth, and we test multiple areas of their lives just to see what's changed. Because I don't know what it does to you. It's like taking...
Maybe it's this.
It's like vaping. No one knows what vaping does to you long term. Like, short term, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of effects. But long term, what did Labyrinth do to...
Is this it?
Is this it? Because then Labyrinth is very bad.
Hold on, let me posit this. I don't know if I've listened to a podcast by anybody who hasn't seen Labyrinth. It's come up on most podcasts I listen to,
actually. Hey, who was president when Labyrinth came out? Can someone fact check that? Google? He's going to fact check that real quick. He's pulling out his phone.
Who was president when Labyrinth came out?
I wonder if Google knows how to answer that question.
I like to ask Google questions in weird ways.
Here's what I found.
What'd you find? He's looking it up. I don't want to have a lot of dead air here.
Aaron Larson?
Aaron Larson was not president.
I know, that's why I was saying that's not right. What year did it came out, did you say?
I don't know. What year did the movie...
When did Labyrinth come out?
Labyrinth was released in the United States of America on June 1986.
Okay, 1986. I was correct. Who was president in 86?
Who was the president in 1986?
We were homeschooled. If we weren't homeschooled, we would probably know.
Reagan.
So, Reagan was president when Labyrinth came out. I don't know what that means. We can probably draw our own conclusions.
Wait, more importantly, who was president after?
After Reagan?
Yeah.
Wasn't it William?
Why would I know that?
Or Bush.
did we get Bush because of Labyrinth?
Did we get William because of Labyrinth?
If you were five when you saw Labyrinth, what was the first year you could vote?
If you were one when you saw Labyrinth, what was the first year you could vote? These are the studies that we need to do. Like, we spend all this time figuring out, like, video games cause gun violence, and we spend all this time trying to figure out, like,
which actually
quote-unquote real-world issues, but, like, what did Labyrinth do to us as a society?
I think we can argue impacted us negatively. However, I think the easiest way to,
I don't maybe, think I can argue maybe positively, maybe actually. Positively. We don't know.
Okay, it so affected pros, me pro
strongly.
Pros of Labyrinth. Bowie does some cool glass ball juggling.
Bowie's in it.
Bowie's very good pants. The song, Dance Magic Dance.
You're single? What about that chick that's in it? What's her name?
Dang it!
What's that chick's name?
Sally.
No, it's not Sally. Dang it.
There's the scene where the chick is talking to a worm or something, and he's like, no.
Many good puppets. Oh my word, so many good puppets.
And he's like, the turn behind you. And she's like, what turn? And there's that really weird optical illusion.
Yeah, dog.
Which is dope.
Jennifer.
The Popeits.
Jennifer
That's
Connelly.
The puppets of the Pope when they kind of get weird and religious with it for a second, which is kind of weird.
Sorry, I just give the I love you sign to the screen because my mom texted and it showed up.
Man, yeah, but what did you think of the religious comedy with the Popeits?
The religious comedy?
Yeah, with all the Popeits.
I loved it so much that I gave it a standing ovation.
Which is weird because we watched it together and Michael church. Just stood...
But not, it wasn't showing at church. I was showing it to him on my cell phone at church. We had earphones in.
Earphones?
Earphones. I tried to yes in, I tried. I just wasn't listening to when you said the Pope musical or whatever you said.
I accidentally said Pope it instead of puppet.
The puppets are so good in the movie.
They are very
Cons.
Good. We don't know what it did to
the
us.
The fart swamp?
I can't entirely tell you what... I watched that movie, and I was kind of a grown-up when I did it. I can't tell you really anything about it.
I can tell you a lot about it, and I don't know a lot about it.
I can give you logistics of what happened on screen. You know, I cannot tell you what that means.
You know, like, when they found the Rosetta Stone? Remember that? When they found the Rosetta Stone?
Yeah.
And... the guy looked at the Rosetta Stone and says, I know this is important. I'm pretty sure this can help us understand an entirely new language. But I don't know what
isn't the Rosetta Stone just computer software? It was a millennial joke because I'm young.
Yeah, it is. He found the CD. He was looking at a CD saying, I don't know what the physical media is. I know it means something, but it's probably important. And... I feel like the movie Labyrinth is like the Rosetta Stone, where we know it's important,
but we don't know what
why,
for yet.
And we don't know how important.
Dude, picture this. Excuse me. Years later.
I'm laying in a bathtub. Wait, you don't know how this story goes, do you?
No. What are you referring to?
When the guy solved the Rosetta Stone.
Oh. No, years later, we're sitting on the edge, and it's freaking... Can we get some mood lighting in here? So, thank you. So, it's dark. We're on the tipping point.
I like how we're still doing audio jokes even though we have video. Go ahead.
Of a apocalypse. That's the word I was looking for. All
right.
And then all of a sudden, a young man who's older at this point, so an oldish man, middle-aged man, there we go, named Michael Scott Knipp, solves it, and he's like, and then because of Labyrinth, you stop the apocalypse.
Don't you know how the dude solved Rosetta Stone? He was laying in his bath thinking about it, and he literally had like the brainstorm moment in the bathtub, and he ran out on the street naked just yelling, Eureka, I have found it. And people thought he was a lunatic, because he was.
He was.
But he also... figured out how to translate Egyptian.
Also, at that point, from public nudity, a sex offender. So,
no.
He's a lot of things.
He was young. He was a child.
So, wait. So, all the people who thought he was crazy, not only were judging this kid, but also they were the sex offenders?
No.
Because they saw the child naked.
No, if a child just runs out in the street naked, it's no one is offended. It's just expected. Children just run the street naked.
Hey, dude, freaking, I think the more we talk about this, the more that, like, in years from time now, people are gonna be like, so it was just 24/7 Purge all the time when these guys were alive, right? Like, it was just Purge all the time?
I want to do something as impactful to society as Labyrinth in my life.
What if this show podcast
might be it? It might be.
Only if you guys share it, talk about it, use it and live it and love it.
We gotta rate Labyrinth, though. David Bowie, 10. The movie
David
Labyrinth.
Bowie is a person, 10. Oh.
I feel...
Hold on. Labyrinth is art, right?
Yes.
And art is supposed to make you feel, correct?
Yes.
So is Labyrinth a 10?
Labyrinth makes me feel so
much. I feel
much.
A lot of things when
I feel so much. It's like, you know, like,
It's transcendent as heck also!
You know the 10 we gave to Taylor Swift album Red?
Yeah.
Because it made you feel so, like, it made you feel happy, it made you feel sad, it made you feel nostalgic. There's, like, so many different emotions. Labyrinth does that. I feel so many things. Laughter, fear, sadness, the infinite melancholy,
a few suicidal thoughts. I feel, some weird existential thoughts when they're doing that, religious comedy.
And then there's the part where they do the ballroom dance, where I just don't know what to feel. 10.
But it's a 10. Labyrinth is a 10.
10 out of 10. Labyrinth. So last week, we said that we were going to take over YouTube, and we did...
Suck it, Pewds.
Because we got 8 views on YouTube.
How many views does Pewds get again?
7. So, we got more views than PewDiePie for a week. We showed up in the Google trending.
We're not quitting like Pewds did.
Most
for 4 days.
We said if we got 2 likes, we would take a user submitted topic. We got 2 likes. The user submitted topic was?
Communism.
Communism.
Now, Michael.
Yes.
Can I make you sad for a second?
Yes.
What if I told you that I'm not 100% sure on what communism is?
Communism is when you go to a Catholic church and the guy has the goblet of wine and you have to drink it.
So it's like peer pressure into drinking? Like that's so like if somebody's doing that, I say quit being such a communist. When everybody learns that I'm 20 and they're like, oh, you're on turn 21 soon, we gotta go get a drink together. I'd be like, step off, you commie!
Yeah.
Is how that works?
Yes.
Okay.
But, like,
I think that's
it's
bad.
Not just drinking, it's the wine that comes in the cup that the priest gives you.
So, like, the act, so...
Do you get what I'm...
You know, I get your joke, I'm okay, kind of cool. Yes and, that's okay. Why I said okay. Drinking, drinking, and drinking.
Okay.
So, like, what about the bread part of it? Is that also communism?
They're called wafers.
Wafers, okay.
Have you ever been to a Catholic church? Dude,
it's
what a
wild.
Weird...
Dude, Catholicism's kind of buck wild.
Dude, have you ever played the game Bloodborne?
Yeah.
After going to a Catholic church and sitting through a Catholic mass, Bloodborne's
which
religious
say,
references are now so much more potent than they've ever been.
Can I just say this real quick about mass? I'm not pro fat fat shaming.
They ring... Fart. Dude, they ring a bell and it's supposed to change the communism elements into... human flesh.
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating that part. They ring a bell, and they say...
To literal blood and body.
They sing an incantation, and it's supposed to literally transform into human flesh.
So is Catholicism also modern-day witchcraft?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like all of this has been pretty bad so far.
Communism won.
Communism gets a 1. The world would be better without communism.
Yeah. That's what Hogan's Heroes taught me. There's a really timely reference.
Dude, I know nothing, and I see nothing.
So as far as YouTube goes, smash that like button. We're going for 5 likes this week. We which is a lot considering we only got 8 views. But if we can get 5 likes this week, we'll take another user submission and we'll call that person out by name in the video. 5 likes. Smash that like button. And also the subscribe button. Also the bell button while we're being YouTubers here. I thought you were going to say a joke, but instead you just coughed violently. Thank you for listening to our show.
Also,
You
can we get 10 likes, I'll go on a date with you for an hour.
If
people auction off dates sometimes.
But like, what if they live in Canada?
It'll be over Skype.
Okay.
Oh, this is also an empty promise. I really don't want to do that. I take that back. No. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry.
You don't want to talk to somebody on Skype for like an hour?
Why don't you just say
10 minutes?
10 minutes. 10 minutes, sure. I'll do that.
Alright, 10 likes. He'll Skype convo. But who
or
you gonna,
actual
who you
date.
Skype convo?
Whoever,
we don't know who the 10th like
whoever
is.
Whoever buys a t-shirt. You have to buy a t-shirt also.
Oh, we can track you if you buy a t-shirt.
If a bunch of people buy t-shirts, your name gets put into a drawing for it.
Okay.
For
but do we have to get 10 likes?
Physical date. Yeah, 10 likes.
Okay. 10 likes, first person to buy a t-shirt that wins the drawing. You're just digging this deeper, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Life's What You Waited on WagMatters.com. If you like the show, you can subscribe to it on iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating there. And if you don't like it, then don't leave a rating. If you don't like it, you can shove it, as Weezer said.
I don't give a hoot about what you think.
If you want to buy our cool t-shirt to be as cool as me, you can get a link on our website. You can also go to whackmatters.storemv.com where you can buy our clothes. Like our clothes. We sell them after we use them because we're that famous now.
It's kind of like that Justin Bieber. It's like that episode of Hannah Montana where they're selling tissues that Hannah Montana used or something.
You remember that line of the Justin Bieber song where he says, buns out wiener? Well, I guess Nicki Minaj says
buns
it.
Out wiener.
Hey, don't talk too much. Because remember, it's a misdemeanor.
Oh, dude, I almost did a crime.
You almost did it.
Oof.
If you do 6 seconds of a Nicki Minaj song, it's a misdemeanor. Thanks for listening to the show. You can check that out. You can also just donate to us on our page if you think this is funny or if you want to support us because we're homeless. Should we say anything about a producer? We want to hire a producer at some point.
We want to just freaking find a Brad 4.
We got tired of doing everything by ourselves.
So we're looking for a producer. Yeah, we kind of want to figure out a way to make it better.
We're taking auditions.
We're holding tryouts.
Yeah. Anything else that you gotta say? I feel like
a
you
dumb
should...
joke.
Oh wait. What is it?
Michael, what does a pig do when he cuts himself?
What?
He puts some ointment on it.
I got one. I got this, dude. I'm ready to defend myself in the pun war.
I'm ready.
What do you call Cheese Whiz after you eat it?
I don't know.
Cheese Whiz.
Dang it. This is a bad show.
Thank you for listening.